Talking on all political subjects and taking on all callers, this is Matt Flynn Direct with your host, Matt Flynn.
Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Go tell that long-tongued liar.
Welcome to Matt Flynn Direct, coming to you statewide on Civic Media, Madison, Waukesha, Wausau, and Wisconsin Rapids. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. No subject is off limits, and all points of view are welcome. Remember, you're not woke if you don't know history. You're not woke unless and until you know history. We're going right to the front lines of history in the making. And the big story dominating all others is the release today of a redacted affidavit for the Mar-a-Lago search. We released today by noon. I'm going to give you the background of it, what I expect this is going to show, and then talk about the consequences. Now, normally, and let me be blunt. In a normal criminal case, an indictment, or even just a grand jury issuing a subpoena, nobody on the government side releases the warrant. Nobody releases the affidavit. Nobody asks for it until their charges filed. That's standard operating procedure. In this particular case, a couple of weeks ago, the government executed a search warrant, not a raid, it's a search warrant. And they went into Mar-a-Lago to retrieve classified documents, some of them top secret, some of them the highest category of top secret. There is a category of top secret that says that this document should only be reviewed by, say, 8 people in a secure location. Trump just stuffed this. He demanded that they be brought to his office in the White House while he was still president. That was unlawful. When Dwight Eisenhower, a far greater man than Trump, was president, and he wanted to see these things, he would go to a secure location, and the guy would come walking in, handcuffed to a briefcase, and open the briefcase with his other hand and show the president the documents, then take them back and go back. Classified documents were just lying around the White House. Trump just took them in a lot of boxes down in Mar-a-Lago, some of them top secret, some of them having to do with nuclear weapons. There's a separate question about what he intends to do with them, what he did do with them. Remember, he left the White House January 2020. So we're talking about 2.5 years now. Two and a half years. Actually, January 20, 2021. The election was November of 2020. He got to hold over as president until January 20. So that was 2021. Too many 20s. So it's been a year and a half. And this is, these documents have been in a resort in Florida, some of them in a storeroom off a pool area, where people had unrestricted access, workers, people who pick up the towels, people who bring the dirty towels, people who get sheets, anybody. Nobody cares, apparently. When the FBI realized, and the archive, the National Archive Office realized that he'd taken some of these documents, they demanded that he return them, and there was a series of negotiations that went on for a year. He finally gave some back, boxes of them, about 15 boxes of them. They were all torn up and shredded. He said, that's it. He lied. That wasn't it. He'd kept a lot more. They met again in June with the FBI. So that's 17 months after he left the presidency. He said, you didn't give them all to us. He said, well, I did. Well, here's something else. Then they realized he was still lying. And they executed the search warrant. Now, let me tell you something. If this was a normal defendant or target, and there were those kind of documents lying around, there would have been a battalion of FBI agents swooping down at dawn. They would have cleared out Mar-a-Lago, all the guests, everybody, and gone over it with a fine-tooth comb. Why do I say that? I say that because the National Archives and the FBI believe that he still has documents and he's continuing to lie about them. Remember, Mar-a-Lago is a resort. It's a big resort. Nobody says that he only put all of them in the same unlocked storeroom off the pool area. He had more than 18 months to do this. By this time, he could have transferred some of them to New Jersey, to his golf club there, to New York. They could be elsewhere in Mar-a-Lago. He could have lost track of them. Here's a couple of problems. One is, every intelligence service in the world knew what he was like, knew that he was on the take from the Russians, knew that he had betrayed us to the Russians, and knew that he had documents down there. And how many pool boys and towel workers do you think with jackets that said staff walked in there and were really reporting to Russian or Chinese intelligence? There was a Chinese spy that got in there. Chinese spy, do you remember that? She goes there and she got in, roaming around Mar-a-Lago, till she was finally apprehended. There are a lot of questions unanswered. One is, why did Trump do this? He didn't do it out of nostalgia. He didn't do it because he wanted to write his memoirs. He doesn't write. If you can write your memoirs, you don't take nuclear secret documents. Why he did it, who he sold it to, promised to sell it to, described it over the phone to. That's why you have a grand jury. That's why you have a grand jury. But I want to get into the weeds and what's happening today and what happened yesterday. Trump shoots his mouth off. One of the callers yesterday made a very good point and said that all he's interested in is being in the paper. He's in the paper and on TV as much as Biden. What's important in politics is name recognition, that you be constantly in the news, constantly. He's an expert at sucking up oxygen. So the only two people you ever hear about are Biden and Trump. And it doesn't matter what they write about you. There's an old saying, I'll repeat it, I said it yesterday. I don't care what you write about me as long as you spell my name right. I don't care what you write about me as long as you spell my name right. So he's arguing over this. So he lied and he said that he had nothing there. All they had to do is ask. They've asked two or three times. And he still has nuclear documents down there that they still haven't found. So all of his supporters out there, whom he's saying that they're picking on me, that they are just doing this for political purposes, all of that keeps him in the news. So he complained so much, Merrick Garland decided to release the warrant. Remember that? Well, the warrant is signed by a federal judge, in this case, Judge Reinhart in Florida. And it just says, I think there's a probable cause to believe that there's a crime has been committed, a felony, and there's evidence of that crime at Mar-a-Lago. That's what it says, probable cause. That's all you need to charge somebody. To convict them, it has to be beyond a reasonable doubt. But to charge them, you only need probable cause, which is a lesser standard. Most federal prosecutors don't go after anybody unless they reasonably think they can get a conviction beyond a reasonable doubt. But you get a search warrant on probable cause. A federal judge said there's probable cause to believe a felony was committed under the Espionage Act. And he said that documents showing that are at Mar-a-Lago. That's what he said. So the FBI went in. They didn't wear FBI in their shirts so as not to humiliate him in front of his guests. They gave the Secret Service 45 minutes notice so they could escort them in. Trump and his kids watched this on camera from New York, from internal cameras. They watched it. They watched the whole thing. The FBI took out 11 boxes of highly classified secret, top secret information, and they believe there's still more there. Mar-a-Lago is a big place. But what happened is, if this had been a drug cartel or organized crime, a battalion would have gone down of FBI agents. They would have cleared the place, sealed it off, and spent a week going through every nook and cranny. They're not doing that because he is a former president. They're deferring to him. That's wrong. They should do that, and I'll tell you why. The reason they should do it is because a piece of paper is easy to hide. A file is easy to hide. Who says that they were kept in the towel room? I don't believe they were kept in the towel room, quite frankly. Not all of them. Not all of them. In the White House, one of the staff went into the ladies' room and found classified documents on a shelf. Somebody got in there to use the bathroom. And who's walking around with classified documents? Some of these things shouldn't even be in the White House. And they end up in the bathroom. This guy is not just sloppy. He betrayed us to the Russians, quite frankly. Now, after Garland released the warrant, Trump upped the ante just to keep himself in the paper, saying, all right, now give us the affidavit. His lawyer said to him, what are you, crazy? If the affidavit comes out, that's going to show really bad things for you. So in court, when they argued it, his lawyers were silent. See, it's a good cop, bad cop. He shoots his mouth off, says, release it. His lawyers shut up. They don't want it released. Well, Garland thought about it, talked to the judge in open court, and they finally agreed Garland would redact it. What does redact mean? It means black it out. They will black out every witness, frankly, so they don't get killed or at least threatened and have to have witness protection and 24/7 security, like Cassidy Hutchinson, who testified in the January 6th hearing, and Dr. Fauci, 24/7 security. But here's something I'm very concerned about. The nuclear secrets that are on there, they're not going to say what they are, of course. But this redacted affidavit is going to be read by Russian intelligence, Chinese intelligence, North Korean and Iranian. And if there is even a whiff of the seriousness of some of this, and in any respect discusses a country or an area, they can reverse engineer who the mole is on their part, and they will capture him and torture him. Trump already blew the cover of an Israeli agent who'd penetrated Al-Qaeda, and they had to get him out before he was killed. If I were Merrick Garland in this one, I know what he's thinking. He's thinking, and so's the judge, we've got to placate everybody. No, you don't have to placate everybody. We're going to wait and see. Noon today, we'll see how much is disclosed and how much injury is done by that disclosure. Going to a break. Lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.
Go and tell that midnight rider, tell the rambler, the gambler, the backbiter, tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down.
Just yesterday morning, they let me know. Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. I want to continue with this redacted affidavit coming out by noon today. Garland had the opportunity to appeal the judge's decision, Reinhart's decision last week. I think it was a bad decision. Everybody was surprised. Every experienced criminal defense lawyer and prosecutor I know was surprised. You don't release affidavits in support of search warrants until there are criminal charges, and then you give a copy to the defense. That's the way it's done. So it doesn't compromise, doesn't endanger witnesses, and it doesn't compromise the investigation. I think that Reinhart's motivation in this, quite frankly, is he chickened out somewhat. He has been subject to virulent abuse because Trump has attacked him personally. And, you know, Trump is the only guy in his universe who hasn't either been in jail, threatened with jail, or had to be pardoned. Alan Weisselberg, his CFO, chief financial officer, just pled to a crime, is going to spend time in jail. Michael Cohen is in jail. Mike Flynn pled guilty and then was pardoned. Manafort, Stone, all of these people, Bannon, all pardoned or commuted. All of these people, everybody around the guy, die like flies, and he sits there in the center of the web and nothing happens to him. When he attacks a federal judge, which he did here, and he attacks prosecutors in the FBI, they are relying on First Amendment law, which says that, well, if he's real oblique in it, you know, you don't say, I'm going to kill you, but, you know, I sure wouldn't be surprised if somebody did. Of course, it would be wrong. Says that. Under First Amendment law, a lot of people say, oh, we're not going to prosecute that. But the reason for not prosecuting it is because most people don't have a big megaphone. most people aren't listened to by a lot of people. They don't move things. This guy says something like that, and tens of millions of people say, yeah, and a lot of disturbed 18-year-olds go into a gun shop and buy an AR-15. I would crack down on this guy a lot more than he has. We have become a passive-aggressive party. You know, you look at cable and all this, and I'm not talking about Fox, but I'm talking about CNN and MSNBC, and they go, you'll say something, and they'll say things like, well, there's no evidence of that. How about saying he's lying and that it's false? Ooh, there's no evidence of that. The implication is maybe it's being hit. You know, I mean, these people are unbelievably weak, very weak. The party's very weak in their response to him. Now, so Reinhart, he's been threatened. His wife's been threatened. His kids have been threatened. Where he worships, the synagogue he worships in, has been threatened. A lot of anti-Semitic hatred against it. They had to close down one weekend for services. So I think he thinks, well, I'll throw a bone to this rabble, this wolf pack. Well, you don't throw a bone to a wolf pack. You throw a bone to a wolf pack, they want the whole body. So he goes, yeah, I think we should unseal some of this. To me, that's going to make it worse. Unless they get the whole thing, which they can't, because then there will be sources that will be killed in Russia and in China, and there will be witnesses in this country who have to go into a witness protection program. So some is going to be redacted. The minute anything's blacked out, they'll say there's something wrong. All this does, when you negotiate with these kinds of people in a way that's not normal in a prosecution, you just reap the whirlwind. It gets worse. It's absolutely worse. Worse. Some people hypothesize and they say, well, when this thing comes out at noon, there'll be enough juicy meat in there that everybody will be convinced that Trump did it, that he stole nuclear secrets, and that it's a felony under the Espionage Act. That's already been said in the warrant signed by a federal judge. People of good faith who understand this know it. But there are people who are Trump supporters, and I've talked to people, even businessmen, even affluent businessmen with very, very strong educations, who have swallowed the Kool-Aid to such an extent that there is literally nothing that Trump has said or done that dissuades them from supporting him and lying about the election. Literally nothing. And I'm talking about people who are in the highest echelons of business. They look on this as do or die. So putting out a redacted affidavit isn't going to do anything to change their minds. It's not going to result in fewer threats to the judge. It may result in more. And you can't turn over the affidavit because you will jeopardize the lives and the safety of witnesses. So what do you do? What you do is, Reinhart in particular was crazy to say he's going to release some of this in a pathetic attempt to protect himself. And Garland, if I'm Garland, I go, well, I understand what the judge is doing, but no, we're not going to put up with that. And there's several layers of appeal. Reinhart is a magistrate judge. That's a 10-year appointment. It's not an Article III judge. He's not in there for life. He's not confirmed by the Senate. He's simply proposed by the chief judge of a district. When he does something, his order is appealable to a federal judge, an Article III judge, a judge who's appointed by life under the Constitution. And then if that judge supports him, they can go to the 11th Circuit. You do not give up an affidavit in a criminal case because you want to bag the quarry. You want to bag the rabid wolf is what you want to do. All this is going to do probably won't compromise they're going to redact it so much, it's not going to compromise the investigation. But what it is going to do is further inflame Trump's supporters, not quiet anybody down, not by any peace whatsoever, until these people who threaten people, threaten federal judges, threaten their kids, threaten witnesses, threaten Dr. Fauci, threaten everybody, they must go to jail. A lot of them must go to jail, and they must go to jail for more than 5 months, like Alan Weisselberg, who committed a $1.7 million tax fraud, and he gets off for the 5 months because they have a bad prosecutor in New York who took a dive on Trump and let him off totally. They must go to jail for several years, and other people must know it. And the truth of the matter is, until we do that, there'll be more threats to get more concessions. The concessions will be insufficient, and all it will do is cause more turmoil. Going to break. The lines are open. 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.
There's just a few things coming my way this time around now. Thought I'd see you, thought I'd see you.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. There's a great story out of Florida. It's a very peculiar story and also sort of poetic justice. But you may remember some time ago, months ago, there's a woman down there named Rebecca Jones. Rebecca Jones was a data scientist. She worked for the state of Florida. And she was fired by DeSantis for refusing to manipulate COVID-19 numbers. I don't know if you remember that, but DeSantis wanted to say that that his policies of opening stores and beaches with no masks and no vaccines was fine and that they had low numbers. That was false. So Rebecca Jones refused to do it. And so she was fired. When she was fired, she decided to put out the true data, and she sent it out to her list that she had had access to in her job, which are professionals in state government. DeSantis decided to prosecute her for a felony for using a government list to communicate. And this is right out of China, for Pete's sake. That was her list. And she was a data scientist, and she was putting out true data. Nobody disputes that she put out true data. And they executed a search warrant. I don't know if you remember that. And her husband was there, and her little baby, I think, toddler, a couple of years old, and scared the heck out of him. I think the baby started crying. And then they arrested Rebecca Jones, put her in jail, and she's charged with a felony. And it's still pending. She did something terrific. Here's what she did. She said, I'm going to run for Congress. So she entered the congressional race as a unaffiliated candidate. And they said, you can't do that. They have weird laws down there. You can't be an unaffiliated candidate because you haven't registered as an unaffiliated candidate. Here in Wisconsin, you don't register by party. You don't register by party. And so she went to court, and the court, I don't know why this is, said you can run as a Democrat. And she hadn't registered as a Democrat either. That's a seriously strange state under DeSantis. So she runs. Of course, everybody supports her opponent. She wins with 62% of the vote. She wins the primary. And guess who she is running against? Guess who she is running against? She is running against Matt Gaetz, the trafficker. And she's running a very unconventional campaign. She's saying, well, I'm not really a Democrat. But if I have to run as a Democrat, I will. We got to get Gaetz out of there. This is beautiful. Gaetz right now is under investigation for trafficking a minor. His wingman, his running dog, ratted on him. The miners testified. Gaetz is still at large. I don't know how he's still at large. But good for you, Rebecca Jones. Beat Matt Gaetz. Go to Congress. And if DeSantis tries to get you on a felony for communicating true data on COVID-19 in Florida on a listserv, on an account that you had just up until the time you were fired, well, we're going to take care of that. We're going to the lines. Andy of Beaver Dam, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind, Andy of Beaver Dam?
Well, two things, Matt. For one thing, tell a technician you're not coming across on 540. You are on 1580, but they're hearing the commercials. But no, you're not on the air on 540. So I don't know what's going on. But I would like to repeat the fact that we're hearing Trump's name every day of the week. And it's just, you know, it's sickening, you know. A day can't go by without hearing him blatting off about something. And it's just it's a troublesome thing, you know. But all the supporters, you know, he's keeping the pump primed with all his lies and propaganda. So I don't know. I don't have any idea what the solution is, but that's the circumstance.
Yes, it is. And listen, Andy, I'm glad you called in. First of all, on the 540 business, we are expanding statewide civic media. There will be an announcement coming out. But right now we are live in Madison Radio Market, Waukesha, which includes Milwaukee, Wausau, and Wisconsin Rapids. And out of Waukesha, this show gets carried on 540 AM and 101 FM. So when you're up in Beaver Dam, first of all, of course, you can always go online and listen to this broadcast. But I think that thank you for bringing that to our attention. But we certainly are going out on 540 AM. Secondly, when it comes to Trump, you've repeated and very effectively a real problem. What people don't understand is that, especially with a former president, if he says things, tens of millions of people will believe it, even if it's obviously false. And in this particular case, all they do is see him every day. Every day he's in a newspaper. Every day he's on television for something. And it's usually bad. And anything you and I would think was bad, stealing nuclear secrets, lying about the election, inciting violence. But everybody still sees his name. Then they see Joe Biden's name. And that's all they see. Well, when it comes to a primary, all the polls show that Trump would beat DeSantis and the rest of them. And in a primary, you only need a plurality, not a majority. In other words, you don't need 51%. If there are three candidates and two have 33%, you only need 34%. And the Republican delegates to conventions are selected on winner take all in the states. So in a state, if somebody gets 34% and the two others get 33%, the 34% gets all the delegates. In the Democratic Party, we apportion it somewhat. So that means Trump could go into the convention as the nominee. And he'll have been on the news every day. He sucks the oxygen out of the room. And there's a lot of folks who'll say, I don't like Trump, but I really can't have a Democrat and hold their nose and vote for him. That could happen. The polls show a very tight race. What is the solution? Let me give you two solutions. One solution is for the media, and especially TV and especially cable, simply don't cover him as much unless it's truly, truly important to do it. I'll give you an example. He was holding rallies. The mainstream media would not cover the rallies because he'd lie and he'd do his usual thing. Facebook and Twitter threw him off. However, they nevertheless would send a camera to interview people or get some kind of feed on what he said, and they might occasionally say what he said, even though they didn't cover the whole thing, and that gives him a lot of oxygen. The second thing we can do, though, and I've said this before, our party is a passive-aggressive party. We have gone full frontal identity politics, absolutely identity politics, and you end up with some weak and passive-aggressive people. And so he will say something like, Mitch McConnell is a rhino and a crook. I mean, he'll say stuff like this. Or some Democrat is a crook. And he will, the passive-aggressive Democratic response is, there's no evidence of that. The implication when you say there's no evidence of that, if there were, and what do you mean? There, it's a lie. And he'll say, he'll call people ugly and all this kind of stuff. We don't have anybody in our party, not a single person, who talks back to him the way he talks smack. Not a single person. Nobody says he's lying again as usual. You can always tell when he's lying. It's when his lips move. And who is he to talk about the guy weighs 400 pounds and he sleeps in the basement. Nobody says this kind of stuff because we're gentlemen and ladies. Well, gentlemen and ladies don't always get elected. This guy is bad news, very bad news. And when you have a bully, and he has a way of doing it that does not come off as cruel, even though it is cruel, as other people. If DeSantis said a lot of the things he said in that language, DeSantis, people would suck in their breath and go, I don't like DeSantis. DeSantis the other day, for instance, said about Dr. Fauci, the little elf should be thrown across the Potomac. Now, first of all, that's disgusting. Fauci is about 82 years old. If you took an 82-year-old man and threw him anywhere, even in a room, he'd hit his head, get a subdural hematoma, and die. It was a violent thing. DeSantis is disqualified, in my view, from even running for president. He's trying to ape Trump. But Trump would not say something like, the little elf should be thrown across the Potomac. What Trump would say something along the lines, you know, that guy, you know, he's lying again. He's in bed with the Chinese, but he'd say it with a half smile and everybody would get the same idea. Still lying, still lying. Dr. Fauci is a distinguished epidemiologist. He's been the head of the that portion of the NIH for 43 years. And we're very lucky to have him. The rabble that support Trump go, we don't like Fauci. For what? They don't know. He just tells them who to hate and they hate. But you see what I'm saying? So you got to stop letting them suck the oxygen. Now, look, I'm one of the biggest offenders on this show for 2 hours. I mentioned Trump a lot because I attack him. But I attack him a lot more aggressively than the passive-aggressive identity politicians we have in the Democratic Party. But cover him less and just make it clear at all occasions that he's lying. That he's lying. And there's certain core values that we all share as Americans, Democrats and Republicans, loyalty to the United States and recognition that when we have a national enemy, even momentarily, we stand united against that enemy. It was Japan and Nazi Germany in the 1940s. It's Russia and China and Iran now. And to have a president who steals nuclear secrets and still has nuclear secrets at Mar-a-Lago, won't return them, compromises them. Putin's government said they've already seen them. Now, they may be lying. They may not be lying. All they had to do is hire somebody, give them a jacket that says staff, and have them deliver towels. That's all they had to do. Send them in with a cell phone and a camera. Every cell phone has a camera. We stand united, but we don't. Trump is not united with us, standing up for America or against Russia. He's on the take from the Russians. Who talks like I'm talking now? Nobody talks like I'm talking now. Nobody talks like I'm talking now. The issue has to be joined. They see somebody who looks like a strong man, Trump. In fact, he's a weak man. And then they see people on the other side who are passive-aggressive identity politicians. They don't like it. They don't like it. Okay, that is my answer to that. And to give you an idea, yesterday, what does Trump do? He calls for Mitch McConnell to be removed as GOP Senate Minority Leader immediately because he is, quote, a pawn for the Democrats, a rhino, a broken down old crow, and a political hack. Well, in an odd way, I agree with him on all of that, but for a lot different reasons. And you know what Moscow Mitch goes? He doesn't say anything. Trump said his wife, Elaine Chao, is crazy. She's Chinese. She's making money off the Chinese. They go to Mitch and they go, Mitch, what do you say? He says, your wife's crazy. Do you have anything to say? And he says, no. He doesn't defend his own wife. Ted Cruz didn't defend his own wife. Trump said his wife is ugly. And he went to a call center to get voters to vote for Trump. He said Cruz's father was in on the assassination of JFK. Cruz went to a call center to get people to vote for Trump. He has cowed the Republican Party, and the Democratic Party is instinctively passive-aggressive. Instinctively passive-aggressive. We're going to a break. The lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break. Welcome back to Matt Flynn Director. Lines are open, 844-967-2789. Well, the Republican threats against officials has now spread to the IRS, just reported. The IRS agents, just like FBI agents, are getting threats now because in the Inflation Reduction Act that just passed, there's $80 billion assigned, appropriated for further IRS enforcement. And here are the lies that the Republicans are spreading about it. Here is the truth, and here is the consequence. The lie is they're saying that it's going to be targeted to middle-income people almost exclusively, that the agents are being armed, and that they are going to require middle-income people to come in and meet an armed agent. It's all false. Here are the facts. The facts are back in about 2006, under the George W. Bush administration, a lot of the Republican donors thought, we've gotten some great tax cuts, but you know, we could get even more money if we just stop audits. Because if we don't get audited, we have some very aggressive tax strategies, read criminal tax avoidance, and I mean that. And so George W. Bush stripped the IRS budget of a vast amount of money that they use for audits. So from 2006 to now, the odds of you getting audited are very, very slim, very slim. And even if you're wealthy, and even if they don't even have people in some cases review these returns. They just look to see if you got a 1099, you know, you can do that by computer. It's reported on there, and they don't look at tax strategies. Democrats, including me, for years have been saying, we've got to restore audits. If you don't, upper income people, many of them, are going to commit tax fraud. And they'll file and they'll report anything on a W-2 or a 1099. But then they'll say, because of this strategy, I did this, and nobody penetrates it. Nobody. Nobody. In the new bill, it specifically says, the directive goes out, do not increase anybody the audits who makes less than $400,000 a year. If you make over $400,000 a year, you are going to have a much higher likelihood of being audited. But there's no middle. If you make more than $400,000 a year, you're not the way they define middle income anymore. The germ of fact that they're trying to build on is that they said, keep the same proportion, the same percentage of audits for different income levels as before. So let's just say that very low income people, maybe 2% of them get audited. Middle income people, let's say maybe 25% got audited. And let's say upper income people, it was higher than that. They'd say for anybody under 400, keep their percentage. So there still will be 2% of lower income. And there'll still be, this is just an example. These may not be the exact numbers, but there may be, you know, 25% of middle income, 20, maybe less. The percentage will be the same, but because you have more agents, there will be more audits. But the vast amount of this is going to people over $400,000, and a much higher percentage of them will. And let me give you an example. At one time, the IRS knew that investment banking firms have to be kept on a very short leash. So at Goldman Sachs, they station an agent there, believe it or not. He goes down there every day, brings his lunch, or he goes out for lunch. And he sits there, and he constantly keeps an eye on everything they're doing because he knows very well what will happen if he doesn't do that. That's what this is designed to do, expand that, maybe to other investment banking firms. Maybe people over $1 million a year get even a higher percentage of audits. And these audits are very sophisticated. There was one floating around that used insurance policies as somehow a way to avoid taxes. There are so many tax shelters, so many avoidance schemes, I can't even begin to describe them all. And you need forensic accountants and forensic lawyers, people who look at this thing, and you have to pay them, otherwise they won't take the job, to find fraud. And the studies show that by doing this, this $80 billion, it's going to yield $1 trillion in tax revenues that have been stolen from this country. So the Republicans, they don't. The reason they don't want it is they don't want investment banks and higher income people audited. So they turn around and lie and they say, this is for the middle income. No, it's not for the middle income. Janet Yellen put out a directive. Nobody under 400 grand should be audited in any higher percentage than they were before. And the guns thing is absurd. They don't permit you to come in with firearms in IRS offices. It says that. And the agents are not armed. This is a flat out lie. But they're getting threats, just like FBI agents. They were specifically directed not to do what these people are lying about. And, you know, you heard me. I didn't say there's no evidence to show it in a weak, snivelly, passive-aggressive way. I said they're lying. Okay. What's happening now because of these threats? They are imposing a comprehensive safety and security review. There are 600 IRS offices nationwide. 600 of them. In each case now, they're monitoring the perimeter security, who gets to come into the building or close to the building. Secondly, they are looking at designated restricted areas. For instance, if you go in for global entry, if you fly on airplanes, you can get a TSA designation. That means you don't have to go through a stringent bag checking. Well, there's global entry, the same thing for international. If you go down to global entry, there's a secure room you sit in. And if you go there, say, with your spouse, and she's the one that's, you can't go in with her. She goes in, there's a locked door, and there's a guard there. And all these IRS offices, they're looking at exterior lighting. In other words, much brighter lighting. And they're looking for security around entrances. They, for 600 offices, they may have to have security at each entrance and have people identify themselves while they're going in. They may have to have metal detectors in some cases. This is what Trump has done. You understand? This is not, oh, well, there's no evidence that there is somehow targeting of middle income. It's a lie. It targets people making more than 400 grand a year. It targets investment banks. It's going to yield $1 trillion. But that is what is happening with the IRS, just as they're attacking and threatening the FBI. We're going to break. Lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.